Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can now subscribe for direct access to all our shows online at youtube.com/uprisingwithsonali. Your subscription sustains the TV production of Uprising. A federal judge named Andrew Hanen in Brownsville, Texas, has single-handedly quashed the hopes, at least temporarily, of millions of undocumented immigrants who were hoping for deportation relief as a result of President Obama's executive action. The program, called Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, or DAPA, was just hours away from accepting its first applications when Hanen put a hold on the program so that a group of 25 states could sue the White House over the policy. The move is happening in tandem with Republican efforts to use the legislative process to undermine DAPA through holding hostage the annual funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Also in Texas in recent days, there was a major riot at a detention center in Raymondville by nearly 3,000 undocumented prisoners. The inmates were being held in a privately run prison that has come under fire from civil rights groups in the past, using pipes to tear down structures they protested, among other things, a lack of medical care. My guests are Salvador Sarmiento, Director of Legislative Affairs at the National Day Labor Organizing Network, and Carl Takei, a staff attorney with the ACLU's National Prison Project, co-author of Warehoused and Forgotten, Immigrants Trapped in Our Shadow Prison System. Welcome to Uprising, Salvador and Carl.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well,
Salvador, let's start with you. First of all, the efforts to block DAPA legislatively are pretty much a blow to about 4 to 5 million undocumented immigrants, parents of citizens or permanent residents. How is this judge justifying halting this program?
Sure. We think that the decision by the Texas judge, the initial ruling by the Texas judge, is an example of judicial vigilantism. And there's actually a lot more politics behind his ruling than there is law. The decision is actually quite narrow, and it really seems as he was grasping at law on which to try to base his decision. So the actual decision, there's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of anti-immigrant rhetoric in it. It's a long decision, over 100 pages. But the actual decision is quite narrow. First, he rules initially that the way that the program was rolled out was didn't comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. So he doesn't actually rule that the new program, DAPA, or the extension of DACA, are unconstitutional. He really specifically just says that the way that it was rolled out was not in compliance with administrative procedures that would have been required. And then the second thing that makes it quite narrow is that it really just focuses on the specific DAPA and extension of DACA. It doesn't include many other adjustments that took place on November 20th of last year, and it doesn't really affect a whole menu of authorities and options that the president still has to provide relief to immigrants in the U.S.
And Salvador, is the lawsuit that the judge is using as a reason for stopping temporarily DAPA, how serious is it? And some are saying that it's being authored by Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State at Kansas, a very, very conservative anti-immigrant advocate. But 25 states, that's half the country.
It's definitely sad and worrisome that so many of our institutions have been are being used in this way, and it's very much a political use of what you know of our judiciary, for example. And it's sad, and it should be upsetting to the not just the legal community, but to you know the American people that that our courts are being used, and currently our Congress as well is being used in such a political way. Of course, Kobach out in Kansas has been one of the, you know, we hesitate to say intellectual leaders of what has been a national nativist movement. He was the author of 1070, the anti-immigrant Show Me Your Papers law in Arizona. And this definitely falls under that same effort. And it's important to say that, you know, there's going to be segments in it, both in the Republican Party and outside of the Republican Party, that will use the issue of immigration and continue to use the issue of immigration until we can secure protections for the population of 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S.
I want to turn to Carl Takei. The judge is in Brownsville, but in another part of Texas, in Raymondville, the incredible riot took place just a week ago today in this correctional facility, as it's called. First, and you've written about this, you've documented some of the abuses there. So to explain for our listeners how immigrants are even ending up, 2,800 undocumented men even ending up in this facility, and what sort of conditions did they face?
Yeah, Willacy is one of 13 private prisons in the federal system. It's sort of a shadow system inside the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And it holds about 25,000 immigrants around the country who are serving federal prison sentences, either for drug offenses or for something called illegally reentering the United States after deportation. This is something that used to be handled entirely by the civil immigration system. But starting about 10 years ago, Operation Streamline and other prosecution programs started prioritizing these prosecutions. And now people are serving federal prison sentences for just crossing the border. And the scale of these cases is staggering. In Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, all of those courts along the southwest border, more than 80% of the federal criminal cases filed in 2013 were for crossing the border. That's out of all of the federal criminal cases filed in these districts. And they're the majority of federal criminal cases nationwide. So it's created this huge flow of people into the federal prison system just for immigration offenses. And the people who are housed in these prisons reserved for non-citizens are consigned to the private prison system by the Bureau of Prisons because the Bureau doesn't believe that it needs to provide the same services and programs to people that it assumes will be deported at the end of their sentences. Hmm.
And so what sort of conditions have you documented that these men are facing? I understand that Friday's riot was about lack of access to medical care, but I'm guessing that it was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, I visited Willacy in 2013, and the overwhelming impression that I got from the people that I interviewed there was despair. They described living in these 200-foot-long Kevlar tents because Willacy, it's not a brick-and-mortar prison. Most of the people who are incarcerated at Willacy are living in literally tents, and they're packed in overcrowded bunks. People said that if you lay down in your bunk, you can touch your feet to the bunk of the person next to you. They described how there were infestations of insects that would come and bite them in their bunks at night. They also described how the toilets were constantly overflowing and how the smell of sewage would permeate the tents. Solitary confinement was another big issue. The prison used these isolation cells as overflow. So if you were transferred into Willacy, oftentimes you would end up stuck in an isolation cell, not because you'd done anything wrong, but just because there weren't enough spaces available inside the tents. On medical care too, as you said, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Hmm. There was a pervasive sense that corners were cut and that people were denied basic medical requests.
Salvador, when we see discussions at the congressional level about immigrants and the treatment they receive, these sorts of issues rarely come up. This is a for-profit prison system that is counting on the warehousing, as the ACLU put it, of thousands of immigrants around the country. And yet in Congress, the discussions focus on, on how best to make this country a very difficult place for immigrants to live. Can you tell us about how the congressional representatives from the GOP are putting up roadblocks to the funding of the Department of Homeland Security over President Obama's executive action? So in addition to the lawsuit that's coming down the pipe that on the basis of which the Texas judge has stopped executive action, DAPA, from going forward, they're holding the funding of DHS hostage in Congress, filibustering, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And no one, you know, in these discussions, it never comes up how we treat immigrants.
Precisely. We'll know by the end of today whether the Republicans are going to basically block funding for DHS. Apparently, a bill's already been passed through the Senate to fund DHS through September, and it's currently being kind of trucking along in the House. But, you know, it's important not to get lost in the weeds about the circus that's happening on the Hill right now. You know, what ultimately when people are suffering on a day-to-day basis, when, you know, literally there are uprisings in the immigrant detention system, what's happening in Congress is really a circus, and we can't let it be a distraction from our efforts to really advance the efforts to secure rights for the entire population of immigrants. I think what's also important to say about the Texas uprisings it reminds us of the efforts over the last year of immigrants that are in detention to really stand up for their rights and for their humanity. We remember last year there was a pretty widespread hunger strike that took place in Texas and in Washington State and in a couple other states. And it's important to say that despite the actions taken in November, you know, that population that was on hunger strike last year, in large part, is still in detention. You know, the massive immigrant detention and deportation machine that has been built up over the last decade has not disappeared. And it's important to say then that the decisions, the actions that Obama took on November 20th of last year cannot be the end of the story. They cannot be the ceiling. They have to be an initial step toward dismantling what is a massive deportation and detention system. And we hope that Obama continues to take steps in that direction.
Now, Carl, what has come of the situation in Willacy County Correctional Facility after this riot a week ago? I understand that up to 1,000 people have been transferred out. Essentially, the place was destroyed. It was uninhabitable, which you can just imagine the anger being felt by the inmates housed there. And the media, you know, of course, especially the right-wing media, covered this as more proof that immigrants are dangerous people. What is the aftermath so far?
Well, the Bureau of Prisons has indicated that they're going to transfer the entire population, so that's about 2,800 people, out of Willacy and into other prisons across the country. But that doesn't deal with the larger question of what the Bureau of Prisons is going to do about these private prisons, where abuse and mistreatment has allowed to run rampant, where the Bureau of Prisons has turned a blind eye. This uprising is just the inevitable consequence of that system that the BOP and these private prison companies have created together. And what's really necessary is for the Bureau of Prisons to pull out of this entirely and stop the use of private prisons.
And so on this issue of the money that is often, you know, made off of immigrants, Salvador, what do you foresee, or how do you foresee the conversations in Congress playing out? And do you foresee these, and I want to ask Carl this as well, how the imprisonment of immigrant inmates is being tackled at the legislative level, if at all? So, Salvador, first, how do you foresee the lawsuit and the DHS funding to play out in the next week or so? What should we look for?
We think it's important to emphasize that it's not just the Republicans that are permitting the massive incarceration of immigrants. When Democrats are calling for a clean DHS bill, you know, that clean DHS bill includes enormous amounts of funding to identify, for surveillance, for identification, detention of undocumented folks, of immigrant folks. And even in the president's own budget, you know, there's still basically the infrastructure of the massive secure communities deportation dragnet. It's still in there. Right. So, you know, hope we don't, right. You know, we can't put our eggs in the, you know, in the Republican Party's basket and expect, you know, them to, you know, we can hope they'll take back their party from the extremist wing that's in control right now. But it's also important that we demand, that the Democrats and including President Obama actually use the authority that he has, because he still has a menu of options to provide relief, which he still has not used.
And finally, Carl Takei, what do you hope for legislatively to come out of this prison riot? Something has to change. And are members of Congress willing to change this? Or is this something that can happen at a lower level, at the DHS level, for example?
Well, it's something that the Bureau of Prisons needs to address, but it's also, we need to change the approach that we use for immigration issues. People should not be being mass criminally prosecuted just for trying to reunite with their families in the United States or get jobs in the United States. And nor should they be detained for trying to enter the United States and apply for asylum because of terrible conditions in their home countries. One of the things that about this clean DHS bill, for example, that Senator Blumenthal and Senator Leahy pointed out recently is that it includes funding for a 2,400-bed immigration detention center in Texas that is reserved entirely for mothers and children fleeing violence in Central America.
Wow.
And that's the biggest immigration detention facility in the country.
Well, I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today, and best of luck in the work that you do.
Thank you.
My guests are Salvador Sarmiento, Director of Legislative Affairs of the National Day Labor Organizing Network, and Carl Takei, Staff Attorney with the ACLU's National Prison Project. This is Uprising. When we come back, we'll get an update on Greece.